Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Let's head out to the fan hotline to get more on Browns Bengals week one. He covers the team for Cleveland.com, joins us every Wednesday at 9:20. It's Dan Lobby. Dan, what's going on?
Hey, how are you doing, Jake?
We're doing pretty good. Dan, this is the week. This is the week we all get excited for. Football, NFL football officially back as early as tomorrow, and then obviously we get the Browns on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to my colleague Mary Kay this week, and it's like, you know, we spent all this time on training camp and the draft and all this stuff, and you kind of realize this week, like, this is why we do it all. We actually get to have football games this week, so it's exciting, at least for now.
All right, so I have to ask you then, week one, Dan, as we say right now, it's exciting. Where do you stand on the Browns' chances to win against the Bengals coming up on Sunday?
I mean, they certainly have a chance just because of some of the matchups. We know what Myles Garrett has traditionally done against that O-line and against Joe Burrow. We know that Denzel Ward is a guy that can hang with Ja'Marr Chase a little bit. You know, the rest of that secondary we'll see, but at least you have a chance there. And then, look, the Bengals defense doesn't look all that great. Now, we'll see under Al Golden how they look, if they're improved, if he can scheme it up a little better. But that's a shaky defense they're facing. So of these first four games that are all really tough, the Bengals are probably the most beatable of that group. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but this is the game the Browns have the best chance to win just because they've always matched up well against the Bengals. Even in this stretch where they've lost four of the last five, it's not like the Bengals have just run them over. So I think they have a chance on Sunday.
Dan, I'll tell you right now, months ago I predicted them to have a win, mostly because when the schedule released and we're like 5 months out from the season, I refuse to predict a week one loss because that's no fun. But I predicted them to win. It now feels like a lot of people have jumped on. The Browns are going to beat the Bengals. And at least in Cleveland, the narrative has shifted to more Browns beat the Bengals than Bengals beat the Browns. Not even necessarily for the team, but for the fan base. Has this almost become like a week one trap game against the Bengals?
I hate games when everybody is picking one way. And I know, like, on the outside looking in, that's not how it's going. But like you said, I think everybody in Cleveland is kind of looking at this as like, oh, yeah, the Browns are going to beat this team and start 1-0, and then we'll see what happens. And I hate that when it comes time to pick a game, when it feels like everyone is kind of pointing one direction. So that makes me a little nervous. But, again, I think this just comes down to – if you lose this game, then I think it can get really ugly really fast because you got to go to Baltimore. You've got to play Green Bay. You've got to play Detroit. And I happen to look at the odds today. Those three teams after this week are all in the top five odds-wise to win the Super Bowl. So you've got a pretty tough stretch coming up after this. If you start 0-1, it can start to spiral out of control really quickly.
So, Dan, you hinted at some of the things that obviously can work in the Browns' favor against the Bengals, all of which I agree with. On the flip side, though, what's sort of your biggest concern heading into week one for the Browns that they don't match up well with the Bengals here?
I think it's the fact that Joe Burrow, especially last year, has gotten really good at getting rid of the football. I think early in his career, and this is part of why Myles Garrett and the Browns had success against him, is, you know, he would kind of hold the ball a little bit and hunt that big play. He would take some sacks. I think he gets rid of the football a lot quicker now. And obviously that's one way to negate Myles Garrett, and that's one way to negate this pass rush. And once you get past Denzel Ward, you're counting on Greg Newsom on the outside. You know, we'll see. He's playing for a contract. He's on that fifth-year option. He has a lot to prove. Maybe that'll be good for him. Then you're talking Miles Harden and Cam Mitchell and a bunch of guys that are really unproven in the rest of that secondary. I don't love this safety group. So that's where the concerns get me, is when you kind of get into the depths of this team, when you get past that top-line talent of Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward, and I do think the rest of that defensive line is really good, but when you get into that depth in the secondary, I think they're really vulnerable. And if Joe Burrow just distributes the ball and the Bengals are efficient, then they can probably just outscore this team.
If you're highlighting like an X factor for this game, knowing that you just highlighted Joe getting rid of the ball, does that put more of an emphasis on this defensive line and Miles to get after the pass rusher, or does the X factor and emphasis shift somewhere else?
I think it's still on the defensive line, but I think it's actually in that area where they've made a big investment, and that's the interior, because we know what Miles can do. I feel okay about the other side of that line. I think they can generate something with Alex Wright and Isaiah McGuire and Joe Tryon Choyinka. We'll see. I'm a little iffier over there, but it's the middle of that line. It's Mason Graham making his first start. It's Malik Collins coming in from San Francisco, who I think is a really good player, a veteran player, but they've gone down this road before at defensive tackle, and they haven't maybe gotten the production they expected. I don't think we're going to see Mike Hall this week. He didn't practice today. We'll see how the rest of this week goes, but I think it's probably a little early for him to be out there. But I think it's the interior of that line, because if Joe gets rid of the ball, he can negate a little bit of that pressure from the edges. But if there's guys coming up the middle and forcing him to move, that kind of changes the math a little bit. And now Miles or Alex Wright or one of those guys on the other edge can pick up some sacks.
All right, let's Dan Lobby here of Cleveland.com with us on the Fan Hotline. Let's shift over to the offense for a second. Joe Flacco, obviously, we know he's sort of playing for his job at this point every given week. I mean, he's going to have a set of games, but you're proving yourself. Obviously, goal number one is win the game. That's a goal for every quarterback. But aside from that, what's the goal for Joe Flacco in this one?
He's got to protect the ball, and that's all relative, because Joe Flacco is a guy. He hates this term, and Kevin kind of pushed back on this in 23 when Joe was here, but he's a gunslinger, and I feel like there's a lot of similarities between him and Jameis Winston, honestly. Like, I felt like when the Browns signed Jameis, they were kind of signing a younger Joe Flacco. This is a guy that's going to be aggressive. He's going to take chances. You do have to live with some turnovers, but what you can't have is when he was here in 23, he threw 8 turnovers in 5 games, or 8 interceptions in 5 games, and that's not even counting the wild card game. You could live with that in 23 because you were desperate and you just needed somebody who could run this offense at the quarterback position. This year, if he throws 8 interceptions in the first 5 games, that's too many. If he has a game where he throws back-to-back pick sixes, that's enough to get you benched now. So I do think protecting the football, and again, it's relative. You have to live with maybe a turnover a game or something like that. If he's able to protect it, though, and be efficient, he can hold on to this job for a little while.
Is this a scenario where the microscope kind of comes out for week one on Joe, where you evaluate his play and it determines whether or not, you know, that leash maybe is a little bit longer down the line, or if it really shortens up and we're talking closer to 4 games? Or do you think there's more of a set number in the Browns' head where, all right, get through this many games and then we'll make a decision and we'll evaluate you if we decide to go on a week-to-week basis?
I think the weird thing about this week one is, for a lot of the reasons we've talked about, the fact that this does feel like such a winnable game. It almost feels like if the Browns go out and look good on Sunday, I don't know how much it means, because they just always seem to match up well with the Bengals. What's really going to matter is, what do they do when they go to Baltimore in week two? How do they hold up against Green Bay and Detroit? Right. There's a scenario where Joe looks great on Sunday and the Browns win and they're 1-0. And then I'm talking to you in a month and they're 1-3 on their way to London. So I don't know how much we learn about this football team if they play. And this seems really unfair. If they play well on Sunday, I don't know how much we learn long term about them. If they play poorly and they struggle and it looks bad, that's probably a little more telling about what this team is going to be. And that would be a little more concerning to me than I would be like optimistic if they won this game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, Dana, I'm going to ask you about a couple of individual players that I think a lot of fans have questions on at this point. I'll start with Isaiah Bond. We've heard things about him picking up the offense quickly. Do we expect him to have a significant role in week one, or is it going to be more limited?
I think it'll be somewhat limited. I mean, they've been fast tracking him from the minute he got here. He's been getting first team reps, second team reps. So he's been up the depth chart, and I think he played 9 snaps against the Rams. I think this week, I don't think you're looking at a full workload from him, but I think you could see 10 to 15 snaps pretty easily for him. And I think they'll want to get him the ball in space. They'll want to get him the ball quickly. I mean, I'm always a fan of kind of identifying some guys, and almost like in basketball, just get them some touches early, get them comfortable. Kevin doesn't always do that as a play caller, but I always kind of like it when a play caller does that. So if they can get Isaiah Bond maybe some touches early, some easy catches, you know, let him use some of that straight line speed with the ball in his hands. I think that's how he can make a difference. But I don't expect him to be on the field for honestly even half the plays. I could be wrong about that, but I would expect, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 10, 15, maybe it pushes up to 20 if he plays well and kind of shows he should get some more.
Similarly, on the offensive side, great things have been said about a guy like Harold Fannin and that he's going to be involved in this offense right out of the gate. Is that something that you would echo? And to what level are we seeing the rookie tight end on the field right out of the gate here in week one?
I think we would see more of him just because I think they really like him as a chess piece, and they really like him as a guy that can sort of line up in a bunch of different places. So you'll see him as that inline tight end at times, but then you might see him and Njoku on the field together, or maybe Fannin's in the slot or Fannin's out wide. You might see him line up in the backfield as a fullback, or, you know, even line up as a halfback, and run a route like that. Maybe he'll do some of what Tyler Warren was doing at Penn State and even throw the ball this year a couple of times. So I think they're going to use Harold Fannin in a bunch of different ways. Obviously, Njoku's your tight end one, so he'll get most of the snaps at that position, but they're going to play a lot of two tight end sets. So I think, you know, relative to Bond, I think we're going to see a lot more Fannin on Sunday.
Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com with this here on the hotline. I was sort of throwing it out yesterday, rookies that you're confident in and not confident in. And the only name that I could really land on in the anywhere near not confident category was Dylan Sampson. It feels like where we've seen positive things or heard really positive things about all the other guys, I feel like we've missed a lot of that from Dylan. Is that a guy that you have a lot of faith coming into to actually show up and perform? Or does it almost feel like he's slotted a spot up on the depth chart with the absence of Quinshon Judkins?
I mean, I think you nailed it. I think he's the one really kind of unknown in this group. And I think the way this is going to work, and this is just a guess, I think Jerome Ford is probably going to be your starter. And I think they're going to try and keep Dylan Sampson in the role they envisioned him in, which was that third down back, kind of a pass catching guy. I know he's working a lot with Chad O'Shea, the receivers coach this summer, really trying to become a good route runner, trying to become a good catcher of the football. So I think we'll see a little more of that, but he is sort of the great unknown in this rookie class. And he's also a guy that, you know, when I think about how he ran the ball at Tennessee, I do wonder how he kind of fits in this scheme. He's not the most patient guy. He's kind of a bowling ball, even though he's not that big. He's a downhill fast runner. So, you know, I wonder, is he going to have enough patience to kind of operate in this scheme as a down to down back? So I think he is the rookie with the biggest questions, aside from the two quarterbacks and of course, Quinshon Judkins.
I mean, does it make a difference if we're looking at a Quinshon and then a Dylan sort of, like you said, the third down almost change of pace back? And then when you replace that with Jerome Ford, a running back that in style, I would say is probably a lot closer to Dylan Sampson, obviously, than Quinshon is. Does that change the effectiveness in your eyes of what Sampson can be?
It might change it a little, but I think what they're trying to do is minimize sort of the impact not having Judkins will have on Sampson. I think they want to keep him, by keeping him in a similar role, I think that would allow him to just sort of continue that arc of growth, that arc of development going back to the spring, trying to turn him into that third down back. Again, a guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield. I think if you put Jerome Ford as your featured back, give him, you know, I don't know, 10 to 15 carries. You give Sampson a series here or there. You know, maybe you get Rocket Sanders out there for a series. I don't know. That might be a little quick. But I think the fact that they're trying to keep him in the role they had envisioned for him and not moving him around, I think that'll help his development.
We've talked enough about Quinshon Judkins, just through questions. I feel like I have to ask you this basically on a weekly basis right now. But we had reports from Mary Kay earlier on in the week that the Browns were hopeful and optimistic that he could be signed by, you know, some point this week before the Bengals game. We've gotten to Wednesday, and I'm assuming that signing's not coming at 10 p.m. So we're basically getting to Thursday here. Is there still a sense of optimism there, or does this feel like just a big waiting game still and we don't know anything?
This is like the biggest mystery of this offseason, ever since the charges were dropped and it kind of cleared the runway for him to come back. No one wants to say anything when they get asked about Quinshon Judkins. We just get a quick, you know, we've heard from Kevin Stefanski. We've heard from Catherine Hickman. We've heard from Glenn Cook, the two assistant GMs. And every time you bring up Quinshon, it's just a very quick no update. Like, no one wants to say anything right now. So, you know, it's just always on alert. Like, you know, maybe he's probably not going to sign at 10 o'clock tonight, but who knows? We've seen crazier things with this franchise. So it's always kind of high alert with him, but we are reaching the point in the week, and I honestly think this would have been a big ask anyway. We're reaching the point where him getting on the field this Sunday it would be pretty unrealistic, even if he did sign, say, tomorrow morning. And also, you want to be real careful. Like, he wasn't there for all of training camp, and it's just different. Staying in shape on your own versus going through a training camp is very different. So even when he does sign, I think they've got to be careful and make sure they don't rush him back out there to give him too much of a workload early on. So we might be a little ways away from seeing, like, exactly how they want to use Quinshon Judkins, even if he does end up signing this week.
Hey, do the Browns have a gripe at this point that the NFL investigation still continues on as we're, you know, 4 days away from opening week kickoff on Sunday? Like, is that a legitimate problem for them, or is the NFL, you know, almost in their right in taking their due diligence, and the Browns should understand that?
I think the league is in its right to take its time to do this. I think for the Browns, it's just a matter of, I mean, they could have just done the contract, you know, if they would have. Mm-hmm. If he were under contract, I think there would be more answers, right? He'd be on the commissioner's exempt list, or you'd at least be able to have him on the field until the NFL makes its final decision. So the fact that this happened, I mean, this happened right before that wave of second round picks finally started to sign. So the timing of it obviously was not ideal for that. He comes back. They don't have a contract yet. Just the timing has been all out of whack. But, you know, as far as the NFL taking its time, again, if there were a contract in place, he'd either be on the practice field getting ready to play, or he'd be on the commissioner's exempt list. But just not having a contract complicates all of this.
All right, Dan, I have one more for you. I have my defensive rookie of the year dark horse pinned as Carson Schlesinger. Is he legitimate defensive rookie of the year candidate, or is that too far of a stretch?
I have been thinking about this, actually, him and Mason Graham. So there is a world where Carson Schlesinger, as this team's middle linebacker, just makes a ton of tackles. and who knows, leads the league in tackles or something like that from that Mike position if he plays 17 games. So that would put him in contention for that. But I actually think the things that really stand out when it comes to defensive rookies are sacks and interceptions. So let's say Mason Graham gets 8 sacks as a defensive tackle. I think that could put him in the discussion too, depending on what else happens with some of the edge rushers and some of the other guys in this class. So Schlesinger is interesting because, like I said, he could just have a ton of tackles. But I think Mason Graham might be the more interesting option just because, you know, obviously he was a higher pick. So that kind of raises his profile. But if he ends up getting, 6 to 8 sacks as a defensive tackle, maybe he puts himself in that discussion.
I like it, Dan. I appreciate you setting aside the time as always here. Really good stuff, and I hope when we talk coming up next week, we can both sit here with a smile on our face and a little bit of hope for the Browns moving past week one.
Well, I'm just glad we finally have games to talk about.
No doubt about it. We'll be ready. We'll be watching, I'm sure, throughout the week. Plenty to talk about. Dan, thanks.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com, with us there on the Fan Hotline. Good stuff. We'll react to what some of Dan had to say as well.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.